How many people know we live in a time right now where there's so much information? So much information. You go to Google, you go to the internet, you got information. You pull up Bible verses on Google and it's information. But you can have all the information in the world, but without revelation, there's no transformation. We need the Holy Spirit for transformation in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to touch our lives in places that we can't do on our own, that no system and no government and no family member that can do, but the Holy Spirit can work out things within us. We're in a time right now where if you're not living in praise, you're subject to the deception of the enemy. I want to talk tonight a little bit about renewal and revival in the wait. Renewal and revival in the wait. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Hallelujah. None of me and all of you, Lord, come down from heaven in this place. Touch the hearts and lives of each and every person. At the sound of my voice, I pray for deliverance for any demonic strongholds over anybody in this building tonight. That you would release them from the pressures of this world and you would pour into them the joy of the Lord, which is our strength and our comfort. Touch them and heal them, Lord. We pray for your manifest presence in this place tonight, Lord. We want you to have presence over everything in each and every one of our lives, Lord. And we thank you. Glory be to God. Where would any of us be without you, Jesus? Glory. None of me and all of you, Lord, pour into my heart, Lord, that I'm able the over and abundance from you, Alpha and Omega, to pour into their lives, Lord. And I thank you and I honor you and I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place. He's been showing up. He's been showing up. He's going to keep showing up and he's going to keep proving himself real to each and every person in this room tonight. Praise God. Glory. I just want to praise him. I just want to worship him. He's Alpha and Omega. Glory be to God. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And I know you've heard the scripture in so many different ways and in so many different other contexts, but it's going to be a little bit different tonight. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Thank you, Jesus. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Praise God. We live in a place where we have to be able to run sometimes and not get weary. And we can only do that through the strength of God Almighty. And when I looked up this verb, it's an active verb to wait. It's an active verb. It says, indicating that to wait is to be aware through all of the senses of what is occurring around you and discerning the right time to do the next thing. We need discernment. So much deception in this world, man. We need discernment. We need to know when to make the next right move in our lives. Or we're deceived by the enemy. And I want to talk about waiting. I want to talk about renewing. I want to talk about reviving. Because the passage here is very clear about what the writer says. He says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And how many people in here know we need to mount up with wings like eagles, but we can't do it on our own? We need the power and the presence of God to do that in our lives. There's so many things coming at us. There's so many different situations and circumstances that we are not able to break, but the power of God can do it. The power of God can change lives. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that heals, that delivers. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit actively moving in our lives so we know how to wait. But as the description of it says that it's an active verb, meaning to wait. It's active. It's doing something. We're not just waiting, twiddling our thumbs. We're doing something. So with that said, I want to bring up that we live in an age like a microwave age, where everybody wants it right now and they wanted it yesterday. So the ability for us to wait is so important because there's purpose in the wait. Amen? There's planning in the wait. There's growth in the wait. God is trying to grow us in the wait. He's trying to mature us in the wait. He's trying to do some things behind the scene that we have no idea what we're doing until we see the manifest presence of what happened when it comes. So we have to slow down sometimes to do that. Because if we don't slow down, we'll miss the voice of what God's trying to say. We'll miss his voice. We'll miss the direction. And we do that in praise. When we worship him, I tell you, all day today, I stayed in my study all day. I was in my study. I was just pressing into God. I was listening to worship music all day long. I think I ate an egg sandwich. I think that's all I ate today. Because the reason why is because I want the presence of God to be manifested in me so much that when I come here, that it's overflow of his power and his presence, and that you can receive the glory of God through me. Praise God. So the ability to wait is important. Like I said, it has purpose behind it. It has planning behind it. And there is growth behind it. And the question is how do we wait? In a time like this, in a world that we live in, how do we wait? We got so many resources and so many things in the world that are telling us to go, go, go. How do we settle down and wait? And what do we do while we wait? That's the important question. What are we doing while we're waiting on the Lord? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we worshiping? Are we praising him? Are we waiting on him? Are we reading his word? Are we getting to know him? What are we doing while we wait? Well, I'll tell you the first thing we need to do. We need to draw near to him. Glory be to God. We got to draw close to God. How do we know him if we don't draw close to him? If we can't hear his voice? So many distractions in this world, man, it makes it easy for you not to hear the voice of God. And it's designed that way. Don't be fooled. It's designed that way. The Bible says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's in the system of things. He's running some things, but he doesn't have authority. The only authority he has is what we give him. So we need to yield to God under the submission of Jesus Christ and his authority, because he has the power and the presence to move things in our lives. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Remember, we're talking about drawing near to God. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near, and he will draw near to you. Now, how do you do that too? You think about it. He says, draw near to God. That's what we do, and God will draw near to us. So many times in our situations and circumstances that we run away from God and expect him to draw near to us when he's obviously telling us to draw near to him. And what does he say? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's so important, and I'll get to this later, to put on the mind of Christ. We have to be in one mind with him. James also says further down, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. How many people know we need some stability in the world we live in now? We need real stability. I'm not talking about something that you laid on a foundation that's going to crumble. We need stability in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way we're going to have stability is in him. So when we're in agreement with God and our stance is in alignment with our stand, I'm going to explain that. Let me unpack that a little bit. The Bible says that we live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if we're standing in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that means our stance down here can be off sometimes. That means we need to get back where we need to be in our mind with Christ Jesus so we're able to look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we need him. So our stance has to be in alignment with our stand. where we sit in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to operate from the heavenly realm. So many people, so many carnal Christians we have these days that want to operate from their flesh and are accomplishing absolutely zero. So how do we do that? Well, we pray. We stay in prayer. The Bible says that we pray without ceasing. Well, what is prayer? It's our communication with God. It's our one-on-one with God every day. We can pray with God any time of the day. God's not taken back by our situations. He's not taken back by our busyness. We just got to talk to him. We pray. We read our word. We read the word of God. And we serve. And all these things are cultivating our intimacy and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because out of that relationship will flow life for everything that we need and for every other relationship that we have. Because everything in our life is ultimately intertwined with our relationship with him. So we have to draw near to him. Praise God. Glory be to God. This is good, man. This is good. Listen, I'll preach myself happy tonight. Praise God. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 16. He says, they profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him. He says, being abominable and disobedient, and every good work a reprobate. And it was interesting. When I looked up reprobate, it meant to be morally depraved, unprincipled, bad. Just said bad. That's a bad word in itself, bad. So moral depravity is an issue, and being unprincipled is a big issue. And the question is, how does that happen with us as Christians and believers? Well, I can tell you one of the biggest reasons is because we don't want to die to self. And I brought that up at the first meeting that we had, dying to self. It's so important for us to let go of us and grab a hold of him. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Glory. What has happened in Christianity where we think that everything is going to be peachy cream and rosy all the time? The mission of Jesus Christ was not peachy keen and rosy. Do we remember the cross, what happened on the cross? Do we remember the sacrifice that he made? That he came down from heaven to give himself as a living sacrifice. He was beat with a cat of nine tails. Isaiah says that he was unrecognizable. Unrecognizable. And he died. But here's the thing, he rose again. So anything that we go through on this earth right now in our fleshly bodies will pale completely in comparison to what Jesus had to go through. So when Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, that's what we need to do. He freely gave, so we need to freely give ourselves to him. Praise God. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, he says this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever does not want to deny themselves on this earth will lose their eternal life. Whosoever wants to be selfish and do things the way that they want to do them will lose their life. But he goes on to say that whosoever shall lose his life, whosoever shall die to themselves, for my sake and the gospel's, which is the good news, the same shall save it. We have to be willing to shed some things out of our lives. We have to be willing to let go of self and cling to Jesus Christ. We have to be willing to die to the old man and walk in the new man. Pastor Mark preached on it last night. He says that his burdens are light. So whatever we're willing to give up here and give him that burden, his yoke is easy. His burdens are light. Another thing about this that Jesus talked about, he talked about lukewarm Christians. He describes lukewarm Christians and followers in Laodicea who try to live partly in the old life and partly in the new as those whom he will spit out. That is not good news, brothers and sisters. I don't ever want to be in a place in my walk where I feel like I may have come to the place to where I don't want to do what God tells me to do, and I want to live my life selfishly, and knowing that he gave his life selflessly, that when I get to heaven and I have to look at his face and he says, "Away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I don't want to be that person. And that's what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's a bad place to be, man. And the sad part is, I've seen Christians like that over and over in my walk in the last 3 years, professing to know the Lord, professing to be on the right track with the Lord, but their fruits are just so jacked up. There again, I said it again, it's jacked up. Because they don't want to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. So they live how they want to live. And then they make excuses about their shortcomings. And they don't want to open their hearts and allow Jesus Christ to come in and deal with them. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I want to be on fire for God, man. I want to do what he says when he says, because he is worthy. He paid the ultimate price that we are able to walk in the newness of life and have an abundant life and a fulfilled life and a divine directed life, that he will provide everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness according to his glorious riches. What riches are we looking for, people? We got to look for him. And it's not even about the blessings. We got to look for the blesser, man. We got to keep our eyes on him. Praise God. Glory be to God. God is, he's just too good, man. He's just too good, and he has been. So we need to draw near to God. That's number one. Number two, we need to walk in humility. Ouch. That's big. Humility. This is what how the Bible describes humility as: meekness, lowliness, absence of self. There we go again. We got to let go of self, ladies and gentlemen. We can't hold on to self. In fact, Jesus says that any man that wants to hold on to the things of this world, they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. So he says the Bible describes humility as meekness, lowliness, and absence of self. The Greek word translated humility literally means lowliness of mind. Humility is a heart attitude, not merely an outward demeanor. One may put on an outward show of humility, but still have a heart full of pride. And let me tell you, there's some people out there that have a heart full of pride. Listen, I don't ever want to be in a place where I think I know everything. I'm this grand theologian who knows everything. I can quote 20 million scriptures at once, but I know everything. I'm a theologian. I have all these doctorate degrees, and I'm a master in theology. But you really need a doctorate in demon possession. Because really, you're filled with pride. You know what I mean? We need to submit to God. The Bible says that we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. Depend on him. You know who I want to be known as? I want to be known as the hey guy. That's Andy. I'm the hey guy. When I'm in Walmart, hey, how you doing? I want to be known as the guy that when I walk in a place that if there's a mother in there and her child is sick, she's going to run to me and say, I want to get to this man because I know he will lay hands on her and God hears his voice and he will heal my baby. I want to be known as that guy. I want to be so immersed in Jesus Christ, just like with Paul. If somebody touched my handkerchief, I want them healed. I want to be that guy. See, we got a lot of people who know a lot of scripture, but they don't know Jesus Christ. And what good is scripture if you don't know the scripture provider? Hallelujah. So we want to walk in humility. So what does the character of the new man look like? Well, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 describes the new man that we walk in the newness of life of. Apostle Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. As the elect of God. Glory, hallelujah. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. How many Christians do we have that say they're Christians, but they can't even forgive their brother? They're easily offended and walking in offense, and their hearts are torn inside. And they need a touch from God. They need revival in their heart, but they're so prideful they don't want to let go. They don't want to give it to Jesus. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But you can't do that if you don't know him. You can't do that if you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you working things out. We need Jesus. We need serious revival in our hearts every day. I want to live my life from a posture of revival. I want to live my life from a posture of repentance. I want to live my life on my knees every day saying, God, I need you. Every day, every hour, every minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And above all these things, watch this. Put on charity. The Greek word for charity is love, which is the bond. Watch this. The bond of perfection. See, the Bible says that we will know them by how they love one another. Not by how many scriptures they know. Not by how many Sundays they go to a pew and sit in. Not by how many scriptures they can quote. But how they love one another. We are missing the link. The missing link in Christianity is love. Truth in love, sacrifice in love, forbearing in love, pouring into someone else in love. But we need Holy Spirit to do that. We need Jesus to do that. And so many times I see in my life that we have Christians that are walking around trying to be like God without God. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And here's a stamp on when you know the bond of perfection has taken place. He says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. Rule. The Greek for rule means umpire. Means to direct. Means to guide. That means that when I'm looking to things, that I need to have the peace of God to umpire my heart. To direct me. If I don't have peace about it, 9 times out of 10, it's not from God. God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace and preservation and to sustain you. God is not confusion. That comes from the enemy, from the lie of the enemy. Confusion, fear comes from the enemy. So if you're walking in anything other than peace, it's coming from the enemy. Other than love, it's coming from the enemy. If you're not able to forgive, check yourself. Because the Bible says that we forgive so that he can forgive us. If you're not able to forgive, there's something wrong. Oh, yeah, but that, Brother Jason, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to Jesus. Do you remember what they did to Jesus? Whatever it is, it can be forgiven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. He says, likewise. Is that my scripture? Oh, okay. Is that another translation? Is that King James? Oh, that's okay. Maybe I got the wrong scripture then. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah, all of you be subject one to another. Now, this is the B part of the verse that I wanted to get to. He says, and be clothed with humility. Now, watch this. For God resists the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. We all need grace. We don't need resistance. We don't need opposition. We get enough of that from the world and from the enemy. We need grace. But God is resisting the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humility. Clothe yourself with humility. That's self-explanatory. You know what that's Greek for? Clothe yourself in humility. That's what that means. Put it on. Put it on like a jacket. Clothe yourself. Clothe yourself. Number 3. And I'm going to be out of y'all's way. But we are going to do another altar call. So, and I will tarry up in here until y'all come up here and get healed. Believe me, I will. I got nothing else to do. I ain't ate. So we'll tarry. Praise God. We're going to tarry up in here. Number 3, get rid of distractions. Get rid of distractions. Look at Luke chapter 10, verses 39 through 42. And I know you've heard this, you've read this so many times with Mary and Martha, you know. But Martha, you know, let's read it. He says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. Glory be to God. I want to sit at Jesus' feet. I want to be able to hear his words. I want to get rid of all the distracting things around me. I want to be able to hear when he says move and go. I want to go. But Martha was so cumbered or distracted about much serving, which she wasn't wrong for wanting to serve. We're not wrong. But when we take serving and we take everything out of context and we try to put it ahead of the blessing, that's when it becomes a problem. Like, I can serve in the church, but it will become a distraction if I put that ahead of spending time with him. And I don't ever want anything to distract me away from him. I'm not even concerned about what he can do for me. I'm concerned about my relationship with him. I'm concerned about waking up because I need him to be my fountain. Why? Because he's the fountain. And I want to live from the overflow of what he gives me. And I want to be able to pour into my wife. That's why marriages go so wrong these days. Men are willing to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God so he can pour into them so they can be a fountain of youth to their own wife. And that's what we need. Men, we need to be men. I see so many great examples of that. Pastor Mark and Sandy, man, I look at their marriage. And Pastor Don and Pastor Pete, I look at their marriage because one thing, we try to use them as examples of what to do. And I look at other marriages that I see falling apart as what not to do. These are kingdom marriages. I want to example that. I want to be able to look down the road 50 years from now and say, Sandy, we're still here. We're still here, baby. I still love you. You still love me. We ain't scratching each other's hair out or nothing. We're still serving. We're still loving the Lord. That's what I want to do 50 years from now. But we can't do that because so much in the world today, we have the wrong examples of what marriage looks like. We have the wrong example of what a man is supposed to be. And so we get these false examples of what it's supposed to be. And the people are growing up and they got their kids running crazy and they don't have an example of who a man is. And a man is who Jesus Christ is. If you want to be a real man in your marriage, in your relationship, in your business, wherever you go, you have to look to the author and the finisher of our faith, who is Jesus Christ. Because he was the true example of a real man. He gave. Couldn't he tell he couldn't give no more? And we have to do that. We have to give. That's what it's about. Oh, well, Jason, you don't know. No, I don't know. But God knows. Praise God. Get rid of the distractions. And he says, but Martha was cumbered. How did I get off here? Okay. Martha was cumbered, distracted. I was distracted about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. See, she was distracted with serving and she wanted Mary to come from at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine what Mary told her? Like, man, you better go serve. I'm getting some here. I'm getting the glory, praise God. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 thou art careful and troubled about many things. But watch this. This is the kicker. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Everything we're looking for is at the feet of Jesus. It's at the feet of Jesus. Don't let the world fool you. It's at the feet of Jesus. You're looking for finances? They're at the feet of Jesus. You're looking for repair in your marriage? It's at the feet of Jesus. What are you looking for? It's at the feet of Jesus. I don't care what you're looking for. It's all at the feet of Jesus. And we have to tarry at the feet of Jesus. And we have to be like Jacob when he wrestled with God. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. We have to stay at the feet of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm praising right now. Y'all just don't know it. Y'all just don't know it. You see this earbud? This is worship music. This is worship music, believe it or not. I'm worshiping God. I'm worshiping him before bed. I'm worshiping him in the bed. I'm worshiping him when I get up. I'm on my knees when I get up. I'm asking him to pour into me when I go to work. I'm asking him to heal me when I need it. I'm asking for his presence in my home. I'm asking him for healing in every place, in every fountain in my life. I'm at the feet of Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, thank you, Jesus. Glory, thank you, Jesus. You got to hear from him. I'm telling you, you got to hear from him. I got set up to do this revival, and I said, Lord, I don't know how to do no revival. Lord, I've only been saved. Do you guys realize? The Lord saved me in February. I got baptized, what was that, in June of 2020? June 28th. No, it was the 28th because my anniversary is January 28th. My birthday's March 28th. Her birthday's April 28th. So it was June 28th of 2020, and God started a fire in me. And I tell you what, man. If somebody's telling you that God can't do it, there's a lie. Because there is nothing too hard for God. I'm telling you right now, when God has a purpose and a plan for your life, watch out. Watch out. Oh, no, Brother Jason, you're going to have to go to seminary. You're going to have to do it now. No, I ain't. I got to go to my closet and my prayer closet to the Holy Ghost school so God can show me what he want me to say. So God can teach me what scriptures say. So God can give me revelation of this book. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Man. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all don't know, man. I'm telling you, God is so good, man. I sat all day in my study. I'm like, God, I don't know what to say today. I don't know what to do, Lord, but I know I need you. I need you, Lord. I can't do this on my own. He said, don't worry, Jason. We're going to do it together. Just praise me in the process. Hallelujah. You just got to praise him in the process sometime. Hallelujah. I don't know where the finance is going to come from. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm going to praise him in the process. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to praise him in the process. I'm going to praise him in the process. I'm going to praise him when I'm broke. I'm going to praise him when I'm rich. I'm going to praise him when I'm down. I'm going to praise him when I'm up. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. You are Alpha and Omega. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, if you're just submitting, yield to him, man. If you submit and yield to Jesus, man, there will be a radical move of God and a transformation in your life that you won't be able to explain, that your family won't be able to explain. But they'll see the fruit and the manifest presence of God in your life, and it will heal them. See, God's trying to heal us so he can use us to heal them, so we can be a blessing to them, because it's not about us. It's about Christ in us, the hope of glory, the rock of my salvation, the healer, the divine deliverer. Glory. Glory. Man, glory. Whew. Glory. Glory. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness gracious, we need a renewal. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. Oh, glory, if you need a touch right now, I promise you God will heal you at the sound of my voice. Come up to this place right now. The Holy Spirit is moving, and I'm telling you, there's a healing anointing on me right now. And if you need a touch right now, you better get up here, because God is trying to heal you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. I prayed to him years ago, a couple years back. I said, Lord, use me. Use me. When the fire comes in me, let me know. And I'm telling you right now, that fire is in me right now. And if you need something done in your life, if you need chains broken in your life, if you need healing, if you need the presence of God, if you need a fire renewal of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now, come up to this altar. Come up to this altar. Come up to this altar. Come up to this altar, man. Come up to this altar. Hallelujah. Come up to this altar. Come up to this altar. Glory be to God. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Touch him, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. He receives it. He receives healing. In Jesus' name. Let the presence of God touch this man. Somebody better catch him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch him. Touch him. Touch him. Who's next? Come on. I'm telling you, God is moving. Don't miss out. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. Oh, glory. Oh, glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for Penny right now. Penny, I just want to touch you and pray for you, honey. I just want to touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Touch her with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Touch her with fire in Jesus' name. Shout up in her bones in Jesus' name. Healing and manifest presence in Jesus' name. Touch her and heal her back. Heal her legs. Heal her bones in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Touch him, Jesus. Touch him, Lord. In Jesus' name, touch him, Lord. Lord, whatever he needs, give it to him right now. Whatever he needs in his heart, give it to him in Jesus' name. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Lord. Heal him, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch him. Glory. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Touch him, Lord. Whatever he needs, Lord, touch him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch him. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Touch him, Lord. Pour into him in Jesus' name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, have your way, Jesus. Refill him, Lord. Fill him up in Jesus' name. Fill him up with your presence in Jesus' name. Fill him up with your power in Jesus' name. Refresh him, revive him in Jesus' name. Restoration in Jesus' name. An outpouring of your spirit over this entire congregation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Don't hold back. Open up. Open up. Open up. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in. Glory, let him in. Shh. 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 Marilyn. Thank you, Jesus. In conclusion, that's it. We're going to pray. Marilyn. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. Shh.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. We're going to tarry here for a while, but I thank you that everyone here, Lord, received. I thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, I thank you. We can't do this on our own. We need you. We need you. And I thank you for showing up, Lord, in my lack. Oh, glory. Boy, do we lack. Boy, do we lack without you, but we're there. You turn our natural situations into something supernatural.
Yes.
Oh, glory. Glory. You took me from the filth I lived in, Jesus. You delivered me from drug addiction, homosexuality, everything. You picked me up, Jesus, and you made a new creation. That's what the Bible means, people. Systems can't change you. AA can't do it. NA can't do it. It's a heart condition. Desires aside from Jesus Christ. Who can change a man's heart aside from Jesus Christ? Let him in. Let him in. The saints overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let him in. Sin is sin. I don't care how you try to pad it. I don't care how you try to dress it up and make it up to make it look better than other sins. Sin is sin. This is what we live in, a sin-conditioned world. But we have this Savior who delivered us from the power and authority of sin in our lives. If we submit and yield to Him, if we give Him all of us. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there's nothing God can't do if you submit and give Him all of you. See, I gave him all of me. I gave him all the secret, dirty, dark secrets that the devil wanted me to hold on to keep me in bondage. I gave that to Jesus. And you know what he did? He took my ashes and made them into beauty. He made me over. He made me over. He made me over. He made me over. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Nobody can do that. No counselor, no psychologist. I don't care what you go to in this world, you're always going to end up empty. But in Jesus Christ, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of peace. You want to be sustained? Go to the healer. You need deliverance? Go to the healer. You need a better life? Go to the healer. You looking for your kids to come off of drugs? You looking for your kids to make their way back to Christ? Go to the healer and sit at his feet and tell him all about your troubles. He will touch you. He will heal you. He will make the crooked path straight. He will make the crooked path straight. God will touch you, and he wants to. But you have to allow him to. You have to allow him to. See, God doesn't work by force. We have to submit and say, here I am, Lord. Take me. See, we have free will. God's not going to override our free will. Submit your will to his. Give him all of you. and he will radically make a difference in your life, and your children's life, and your children's children's life. If you want to see a change for generations to come, sit at the feet of Jesus. Sit at the feet of Jesus. He will radically move on your behalf. Praise God. We'll be here for a little while. If you guys are dismissed, but we'll be here if you need us. More than that, the healer will be here if you need him.